Good morning. Merry Christmas, everyone. As we gather and celebrate on this first Sunday of Christmas, for many of us, it feels as though the Christmas season is over. All of the presents under the tree are gone. Our trash cans and recycle bins are full of boxes. Our children's rooms are full of brand new toys that they have gotten on Christmas. And maybe you've even started to pack your stuff away. Maybe your decorations are down and your lights are off. But I remember this year we traveled to Lexington the day after Christmas to see my family, and Emerson in the back seat said, "Mommy, I want to listen to Frozen," which is what she always says when we get in the car. And we said, "No, we're going to listen to Christmas music." And so we turned on the radio, and what did we notice? No Christmas music. While the world says Christmas is over, in fact, it is not. This is the fifth day of Christmas, like the song suggests, right? What are we given on the fifth day of Christmas? 5 golden rings, yes. But Christmas is a 12-day season in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we come together, we remember what happened on that night 2,000 years ago. And so over the past several weeks, we have been looking at this beautiful manger scene. And each week, our manger scene grows, and we add a new character in our midst. And so the first week, we talked about the prophets of old, those who showed us and who spoke to us and told us that the Messiah would come. And then the next week, we looked at the angels who announced the birth to the shepherds and who announced to Mary her pregnancy, and who announced to Joseph that he should take her as his bride and name his new son Jesus. And then we looked at the shepherds and Mother Mary and Father Joseph. And then on Christmas Eve, we welcomed Jesus into our manger scene. And so our scene is almost complete, but there are some characters missing. Who's missing from our scene? Anyone? Okay, the wise men are missing, yes, and we are going to get to those next week on Epiphany. But this week, there's another character from the story that's missing, and that's who we are going to uncover today throughout this time. I have a story that I want to share with you. I think I shared it last year. If I didn't share it here, I know I've shared it before when I've preached on this Sunday after Christmas. But there's this Episcopalian, is it priest or pastor, Kyle? Priest, okay, didn't want to mess that up. There's an Episcopalian priest who serves a parish in Atlanta, but he used to serve on the West Coast. And he shares this story about one Sunday preaching on Christmas. Because some churches, they actually have service on Christmas, right? And in our church, we do it only if Christmas falls on a Sunday. But in other traditions, they have service every Christmas, no matter what day of the week it falls on. And so he tells this story, and he says he made his way through the streets of L.A. To an inner city parish that he was serving on Christmas Day. And after his usual late evening on Christmas Eve, where he spent time with his kids, and they had food and drink, and then they went to midnight mass, he said he was tired. I don't know about you, but I am always super tired on Christmas Eve, and we only have a 7 o'clock service. I cannot imagine if we also had then a midnight service. In the Methodist tradition, the latest we usually go is 11, right? And so he said he was tired, and he was looking forward to the next morning. But as he was driving home, it was dark out. And everyone was snuggled in their beds, right? Like the poem suggests. And everyone was waiting for Santa to come the next morning. And it says as he drove home, he passed under a freeway. And as he approached the freeway, an odd sight caught his attention that made him look again, he said. There was a pink aluminum Christmas tree about 3 feet high that set up on between the grass and the on-ramp. And he said there was blown trash and dirt and grime all over the overpass. But in the midst of the darkness and the gloom, there was this strange, glittering piece of joy. And he said, it made me smile and it tore my heart, for I knew to whom it belonged. Obviously, in inner city LA, there was a large homeless population at the time he wrote the story, and just as there is today. And so he knew that tree was borrowed from someone's trash can and placed in their home. And he said, I was reminded of the passage in John's gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Today is the first Sunday of Christmas, day 5 of our Christmas season. And even though Christmas seems to have come to a close, it feels like this season is over. This is the time where we are called to recognize those lights in the darkness. The place where darkness doesn't overcome the little bit of joy and excitement that is felt. Today, this gospel reading is taken from the prologue of John's gospel. And if you know anything about the Bible, there's 4 gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of these 4, Mark was written first. And if you open up to the beginning of Mark, one of the first things that you will notice is there's no birth narrative written, okay? So Mark does not talk anything about the infancy of Jesus or how he was born or came to live. It starts with his adult ministry. And so in writing, Matthew and Luke wrote their gospels next. And one of the things that they did is they borrowed from Mark. It was like they were sitting down at their computer and they had a copy of Mark's gospel on their screen and they copied and pasted some of it over to write their own, and they did not cite it like good authors should. They plagiarized a lot. And then they decided to add in their own narratives and delete a little bit and change some of the stuff they didn't really like. But both Luke and Matthew add in their own nativity story. One of my professors in seminary, he wrote this. He said, Luke wrote the Silent Night story with the shepherds and the angels and the inn where they laid him in a manger. And Matthew, he wrote the hellish soundtrack with Herod's jealousy and the slaughter of innocents. Those are kind of the 2 different narratives that you get if you read Luke and Matthew. But then comes along John. John, who was written many, many years later, we're not sure from where or when. But instead of looking at the other Gospels, we're not even sure if John had them or didn't have them when he was writing. Probably not, because he doesn't really borrow anything from the other Gospels. But he also uses another source to borrow from. But instead of looking at Mark, or Matthew, or Luke, John goes all the way back to the beginning, to the Hebrew scripture. Because what is the first words we hear when we open up our Bibles to page 1? In the beginning. John goes all the way back to Genesis and echoes those words, in the beginning. The Genesis 1 story, where God begins preaching. And God doesn't preach a sermon, God preaches life into the world. God says, let there be light, and there is light. God says, let there be good food to eat, and all of a sudden plants sprout up and animals are formed. And so when John echoes these words, he says, in the beginning, there was something else, not just God and not just creation that was being birthed into existence, but he says, in the beginning, there was the Word. There was the Word who was with God, right? And who was God. Jesus was there from the very beginning. Not lying in a manger, not wrapped in swaddling clothes, but with God in the heavens, creating and forming life. One of the beautiful things about this manger scene is we get two very different images of who Jesus is. The first is Jesus as a baby, Jesus as human, Jesus as one of us. But that second image, that important image that we get from John, is that Jesus was also divine. Jesus was both human and also God at the same time. And so lying in this manger was not just a crying baby who kept Mary and Joseph up all night, I'm sure, who probably was difficult to nurse at some point, and who peed through cloth diapers like crazy. Not only was Jesus that kind of baby, but Jesus was also God. And so we move from this birth story to a story of incarnation. God birthed into the world. If we go back and we look at John's narrative, one of the things that we hear echoed in this midst is it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. And everything came to be through him. But then it said, the Word became flesh and lived among us. If you go back and you read this in the Greek, the direct translation here is he tabernacled among us, or he pitched a tent to live with us. Jesus came here. He didn't stay up in the heavens in some far off place, but Jesus came here. Into our hospital rooms, onto our soccer fields, into our kitchens where we cook and scream at one another. Jesus came to be with us and among us and shape us. And so we hear in John these very words. But all who received Jesus, everyone who believed in his name, he became power to become the children of God. It takes this very, very past story with this manger, with these folks who wore clothes that look nothing like we wear now. And it brings it into the present, to the here and now, because those who are missing from this manger is us. We too belong around this very scene. We are the children of God who believe in this, who follow this story, who follow this Savior, this Messiah. We are the ones who are called to be transformed. And so John's gospel gives us a very clear message today. That in the beginning was Jesus, right? Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. But when he came into being, in Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all people. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Jesus is light, and we are called to carry that light out into a dark world. This is something I've been saying every Sunday leading up until now. Go out into the world and share the light of Jesus with everyone you meet, right? If we are really going to be a part of this manger scene, if we're going to put ourselves into the nativity and see the fullness of the glory of God, we cannot help but be transformed ourselves. We have to be bearers of light in the world. And just like that Episcopalian priest who drove home on Christmas night or Christmas Eve night with darkness all around him, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I drive around or when I turn on the news or open the newspaper, I see a lot of darkness. It doesn't always feel like Christmas. I don't always get warm and fuzzies. But we are called to be light. And so when you leave this place, when you go out into the world, remember that Christmas is not over. And it's not over after 12 days either. It continues to live on because when this birth happened, when Jesus came into the world, when Jesus decided to pitch a tent among us, Jesus changed us too. So go out and share that light and help to transform the world. Let us pray. God, I give you thanks. I thank you for this Christmas season. I thank you for this time to remember, but God, also to be changed. To recognize that Christmas is not over, but Christmas continues to live on through you, O God, and through transformed hearts. In John's Gospel, O God, we are told that those who follow you become children of God. And God, as your beloved children, let everything we do and say be used to glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.